Hello, this is John Sifferman from physicalliving.com. With me on the phone is Scott Sunnan, whom I've had the pleasure of interviewing a few times before. Today's call is all about a new program called Tactical Gymnastics, or TAC Gym for short. This is Scott's latest development that I'm particularly excited about. I've got a lot of questions about it. So, Scott, I think I speak for many in the circular strength training and tactic communities when I say that I'm eagerly awaiting your upcoming TAC Gym program. Ever since I started using Body Flow several years ago, I was hooked with this type of movement. I've since been anticipating a deeper evolution of those materials. I believe that tactical gymnastics is that next evolution. So could you explain what tactical gymnastics is and for what purpose was it developed?
Well, thanks for having me again, John. I mean, it's great to see you in different parts of the country, and it's great to see all of the benefits that you're bringing to your readers and the people that pay attention to your blog, people like me, because I really enjoyed your recent piece on the dangers of seated culture. It was not only informative, but it was entertaining to read, and that's an unusual combination. So I appreciate the opportunity to come back.
Oh, absolutely. It's really my pleasure, Scott. And, you know, any time that you'd like to have an audience, I'm sure mine would be more than captive for anything you'd like to blab on about.
Well, I promise that there will be no waterboarding involved.
I appreciate that.
Well, the tech gym for me is, let me start with a negative. Let me start with a complaint that I just received on my blog. And the complaint was, why is it that you come out with a new evolution of your material every 1 or 2 years? And I had to thank the guy because he was expecting some type of retributive strike. I had to thank the guy for sticking around long enough to see that my whole focus is on improving. In my opinion, I'm a failure as a coach if a year or two from now I'm doing exactly the same thing in exactly the same way. I think that I don't necessarily mean in width or breadth of material so much as in refinement of its presentation. That's really my focus. How well can I coach? And I focused in the past years on taking the lessons that I've learned from coaching and tried to apply them. I'm going to switch because I'm getting some feedback on my phone. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
Is that better?
I can't hear anything on my end, so we're
okay.
Ready to go.
It must be on my end.
Okay.
There have been several evolutions, and I tried to write about it. And for me, this all started when I was a kid. I had physical and learning disabilities that forced me to look for alternative movement methods. And I've cataloged a few of them to give references for parents that are interested, because it's not just for me physical skills. It's also in how our brain's wired. I do math physically. I wrap my fingers, or I touch my fingertips now when I'm in front of people so that they don't realize what I'm up to. Just the pressure on my fingertips for this, it was called Chisholm Bop, is now tactile enough for me to do rapid math skills and no one be aware that I'm a kinesthetic learner, and that's one of the ways that I overcame the mathematical dyslexia. Those learning disabilities were, you know, they were fantastic for me. Not at the time. At the time, it was an awful experience. But it helped me look at movement from a perspective that most people didn't have. There are certainly a lot of valid and useful and helpful approaches to movement that are outside of the scope of what I do. But for me, that early childhood experience set in motion eventual current evolution of tactical gymnastics in looking at movement and looking at fitness as a collection of skills that need developing, and rather than repeating. Repetition is necessary for conditioning, but what's the purpose of repetition? For me, the purpose of repetition is just to shore up some type of deficit or weakness in order to improve my motor quality. I want to move better as a human. For me, movement is life. So, Tech Gym, I went through several different early iterations of it when I first came back with this huge library of techniques from Russia. I tried to assemble them in the way that I understood at the time, but it ended up being encyclopedic. And there were a few people with the perfect combination of character flaws who were interested in delving into, you know, that library of skills. But most people aren't, if they're like me, when I go and I'm going to train, my exploration is done on the front end. This is what I'm going to be, this is my plan, and this is what I want to improve upon. When I get to the gym, I focus on that. If there's some kind of deviation from the plan and an unexpected discovery, I certainly am willing to abandon the plan. But I think that you have to have a plan on the front end. And most people are like that. They want to have a plan on the front end. They want to have a way to explore movement. So Zdarovia, that early system, evolved into a collection of flows, because now I can condense certain principles down into an simple to follow sequence of movements. Unfortunately, even that next iteration, body flow, even that lacked context and quantifiable tracking. And that was another part of the problem. Not just the quantifiable tracking, but how does it plug in with your other type of training? How does it fit in with your high intensity training when you want to do your sprints or your weight training or whatever recreational activities that you do, or your sportive or occupational demands? How does that impact? How does this movement development fit within the context of everything that you do in your life? So there was another step that I don't want to leave out, and that's a current step. It has no built-in obsolescence. And Prasara Yoga came after Body Flow, and the reason it came after that is because there were specific compensations that we have to allot for when we train. Whatever we do, the opposite of that is being compensated. So if you strengthen your biceps too much, then your triceps become compensated. That's a really gross and simple way to describe it. But if you push too much and you don't have pulling involved in the opposite direction, you're going to cause dysfunctional lack of balance in the body. So Prasara Yoga was a way to take the flow, this elusive concept that we keep talking about, take that flow and use it to compensate for whatever the current fitness program is that we're doing. Again, it lacked context. It lacked a way to fit into a daily regimen. It lacked a follow-along, turnkey type of plug-and-play approach that makes training very simple to do, albeit not easy. A lot of the teams and the units and agencies that I train, they couldn't swallow the whole granola crunchy yoga thing. So I had to denude it a lot of that verbiage and association. Just taking the movements themselves and showing them in their raw application. This is the human animal in its natural state. This is how we are designed to move. Not as babies. Everyone loves to be enamored with the freedom of movement of babies, but if we would leave our baby on the street, not that I would do that, they would not be able to survive because they lack skills. And that's really our focus as grown-ups, as adults, is to develop skills. But with So the freedom of movement is fantastic, but it has to have a purpose. It has to have a graduated, incremental process of improving its tactical function. And by tactical, I know there's a lot associated with the word tactical. For me, it's in the how much accurate function does the human animal in its natural state have to act upon its environment with ease and imagination.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's what tactical means. How fast can you recover from the activities that you do so that you can perform them again with ease and imagination?
Right.
I believe disciplines like parkour are perfect examples of tactical gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look at an environment, I want to get from point A to point B. How can I do that with ease and imagination? Certainly, right. If you look at the training in parkour, no one would say that it's easy training. They build physical skills incrementally so that they're able to navigate across what other people would see as insurpassable obstacles, or at least in a way that is impossible to their preconceived notions of traversing them. So for me, taking the basic skill families, putting them into an incremental format in a way that improves the human function so that they can recover in the entire process of the training. That was the whole genesis of this current iteration called tactical gymnastics.
All right. I've already answered like the next five questions I have here.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
No, that's fine. I'm glad you're concise. So, I mean, if I'm hearing you right, would it be accurate to say that TAC Gym is like a plug-and-play subchapter of Prasara Body Flow Yoga? Or is it more broad than that?
Well, it's definitely plug and play. That's for sure. It includes and incorporates the skills from Body Flow, from Prasara, from Zdarovya, from its earliest iteration. But most importantly, what I focused on is giving the regressions that are necessary to build up to a skill and put it into a format that you could plug in not just any of the other TACFIT courses, but you could put in any of your other training in a way, okay, so if I want to do sprints, or I want to hit the weights, or I want to do kettlebell training, or I want to swing my club bells, where does this TAC gym fit in? How do I put it together? In today's, where the problem isn't finding information. We're assaulted by information. We have to filter it. We have so much that we could do. I don't find people asking me, well, what should I do in my training anymore? Most of the questions I get is, how do I do it all? Those are the questions I get now. So you can do it all, but there should be no days off. Every day there should be some part of the recovery process, because I'm starting to change my opinion about the nature of fitness being recovery and intensity. I used to think that, okay, intensity is something separate from recovery, and the general public views, well, I have to have as much intensity as possible and then have to rest. And then I had this radical notion a decade or so ago that, okay, it's not really intensity that's the point, because you only grow and recover and adapt. I'm sorry, you only grow and adapt when you're recovering from the intensity. But now I'm even starting to switch my notion altogether, in that intensity is part of recovery. Intensity is the stimulus that elicits and reboots the recovery process. We're always in a state of recovery. It's just that most people are under-restored.
Right.
And that's why they can't express themselves with high intensity. Even athletes take a year to 2 years to truly tap into their high intensity once they understand how to do it all. And that is that wave of intense, not just the wave of intensity of changing, I work this hard this day, this much harder the next day, this much harder the last day, and then I take a day off. That's not what I mean by wave. I mean finding the right type of training to plug into that part of the recovery process to expedite you getting fully restored and taking 100% advantage of the intensity that you can express so that the next cycle you can express more intensity as part of that full recovery process.
Right. Training as hard as you can safely recover from.
Right. Yeah. As hard and as fast as your form can hold it, that's what elicits that adaptive process. And then, okay, what have I caused? What adaptations have I caused in my body? And where has the form been a little bit off? Because it's never perfect. So we're always tinkering. Like I pulled a little bit too much. My elbow was a little bit too high. My shoulder was a little bit too far back. So I have to make sure that I warm that up to accommodate if I get, you know, too much tightness in my GH joint, my shoulder joint, then I'm not going to be able to stabilize my scap correctly. So I felt like that's pretty sore right there. So I'm going to focus on that during my warm up. And that constant tinkering process of how do I get fully restored, right? Rather than, I view this as different than corrective exercise. Like we're in a constant state of dysfunction. I don't believe that. That whole pathological perspective from sick care in medicine has kind of seeped its way into fitness. And now the fitness's version of sick care is corrective exercise.
Right.
You're in a constant state of dysfunction. We have to fix you. You don't have to fix me. Don't touch me. I'm a machine. I know what my body does. I'm in a process of recovering and getting better. I'm a better, stronger human being tomorrow because of what I do today. So for me, it's a paradigm shift. Perhaps it's semantics. I don't care. Perhaps it's semantics, but for me, it's a recovery process. Where am I in my recovery? How do I recover more fully, more quickly, so that I can be more intense and then start to cycle again? And that's right. really the focus of Tac Gym. How do I take that body flow, Persara, and the early Zdarovia? How do I take natural gymnastics, parkour, even martial arts like Silat and the ground movements in Jiu-Jitsu? How do I take that kind of movement potential and put it into the context of becoming a better, stronger human being? And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to put it into a structured format that makes sense within the context of the recovery cycle. For me, bigger, stronger, faster isn't sufficient. It's whoever's recovered most quickly gets to bring those attributes onto the field or into one's daily life. Because I know, you know, most of the people I know that are bigger, stronger, faster are also broken, hurt, and ill. And they're incredibly fit, totally unhealthy and incapable human beings. And for me, that's unacceptable. So I wanted to create a format that would help people accelerate the recovery process.
All right. Well, that's definitely a new paradigm, and I'm definitely intrigued, and we'll be following its evolution in the future. It's pretty cool stuff.
Well, hopefully, there are a lot of hard charges out there, a lot of guys and gals that are pretty tightly wired. Hopefully, when they look at Tac Gym, they don't see, well, how much could I do? Quantifiable results are necessary. You have to track your progress. So you, not just the objective accomplishment of repetition under time. That's important to track. But as fast as your technique can hold it. So you should be tracking it over time, not to beat your time, but if I keep this technique exactly at this level, very good technique. I'm holding my form, very good technique. I should see over the course of a month or two that my volume is increasing, though my technique is staying the same, or maybe slightly improving. It's because of that, the movement capability is what is the barometer, the litmus test, I should say, the litmus test for our high intensity. It's our low and our moderate intensity days which show us how well we're doing in our total fitness approach. So my hope is that people don't look at this as, well, for instance, tech gym, our gymnastics is the same as our commando training or the warrior program or any of the high intensity programs. That's not necessarily the truth. There's definitely movement progression, movement sophistication in those courses. But tech gym is for us to see, okay, is my movement holding? Am I moving unimpeded? Am I able to do today's work and have an element of freedom to it? I feel fantastic. I get sweaty, smiling, and sore. I feel like I moved well. I stimulated my nervous system. I've recovered from the process of what I'm doing without having to sit there. Not that stretching is boring, but for a lot of the hard chargers, it can be mentally grueling to do, and you may not be there emotionally. Sometimes you have to move around. So this type of gymnastics is a way to do dynamic flexibility training and see where you are in the recovery process. And my hope is that when people see this program, they don't misassociate it with the high-intensity programs that I put out.
Mm-hmm. All right, now let's say that, you know, this is a new sort of training philosophy that you're building into TAC Gym. Let's say that somebody owns a lot of your products already and is very familiar with CST, you know, the movement palette that you've been releasing over the years. I mean, somebody could probably deduce for themselves how to apply the TAC Gym philosophy to some of these other programs. Like, say, okay, I want to do TAC Fit Commando, but you know, I don't necessarily want to do it with that intensity. I just want to see how the movements feel and have fun with the session. You know, is that something that you foresee as a possibility, or you know, will there not be much overlap?
Well, all of the movements that are in the other programs can be retooled to be low and moderate intensity events. So yeah, anybody that's been around long enough, if you've done three different programs in the TechFit fleet to their completion, I think that you're going to be competent enough to start tinkering around with it and regain your own intuitive approach to exercise, because I think this is more of a mystery novel than nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I definitely go back to quantifiable results. Okay, I check the progress, but for me, the quantifiable results is only part of it. For me, the other half is the qualitative aspect of movement. If it's not improving my overall mm-hmm. movement, if I'm not moving with more grace, then any increased power I have remains locked in cold storage inside my body. So you can take the other programs and apply the tactical gymnastics mindset to them, but there you have to have a locomotive component for it to be tactical gymnastics, for it to be gymnastics. It has to travel space.
Okay.
That's important, because you can't see the movement expressed. So for instance, if you were doing the basic push up in the way that we do it, you know, the elbows pinched and the drive from the core, the hard push up in commando, that unless you are using that to shore up a deficit, which would be a moderate intensity day, it's not going to qualify. If you use that to work yourself into an alligator crawl, like I want to use my core to crawl and do the alligator movement. So I'm going to, on my moderate intensity day, I'm going to plug in this this core push-up, the basic push-up that we do in commando. In the high-intensity day, I'm going to see how, you know, how much I can do and my form can hold it. But on the low-intensity day, then I'm going to see if I can keep my elbows out, which is very difficult to do without putting all the duress on anterior delt. I want to see how far my elbows can go out so I can do this alligator crawl, yet still use my core. And the physical lesson that we learned from that core push-up is that I'm pulling my scaps back. So even if my elbows are flared away from my ribs, I'm still actively pulling my scaps down and tucking my tailbone and hollow bodying out so that I can crawl from my core rather than from my shoulders and my hips.
Right.
So we can go through that whole process of looking at where we are in our recovery. So what's our point of origin? Where are we recovering right now? What do we need to work on? And what's our skill that we want to develop? And then we can start taking all of the tools out of the different toolboxes in TaxFit and creating a program from that that is intuitive.
Right.
That's really my ultimate goal, to sneak up on people and give them back the authority to follow their intuition as to what they should be doing the next day. But I really think that you're looking at a 3 to 5 year transition for the average individual to be able to be completely autonomous. I don't need a trainer anymore. You know, I may go to a coach to get guidance and to check me, because sometimes the mirror is two-dimensional. But I don't need somebody to design my programs for me anymore. I think that happens in about three years for the average individual, maybe 1 or 2 years for people who are already headed in that direction. And that's, you know, that's mostly tactical gymnastics clients tend to be already of that mindset, because they're already hunting it out. If you're looking for parkour and gymnastica natural and the vinyasa yoga, if you're already in that modality mindset, then you're going to transition really quickly.
Right. Well, I totally agree that, you know, I don't think beginners should be using an intuitive based training program. I think it's best to follow where others have gone before you and trust that the results will come. But, you know, now that I'm 5 years into your CST program, you know, I struggle with that myself, wanting to experiment on my own, because I say, you know, I could do things this way. And, you know, that's the challenge, is, okay, well, I definitely got to stick with the program, because I need to use the quantifiable measurements to go forward instead of just trying to do everything on my own and guessing. But, you know, it's a fine balance.
That's where I'm still there too. And I know that sounds strange as the program creator, but the people that I pull into to work on math, it's actually very selfish, because I want them to coach me. So for instance, for the past 5 months, I've been working on my free handstand and my handstand walks. And I have elaborate ideas. Like, the running joke for me is the one seminar that a few of the staff and I did in Glasgow, Scotland, back in 2005. I had a 23-page syllabus, and we got to page 2. So I'm very obsessive about preparation. That's a running joke with the staff. But the point that I'm trying to make is with this handstand, I had some very elaborate training methods in order to build up these perceived deficits. And when I had, for instance, Ryan Hurst come in and look at me, he's like, Scott, all you have to do is this. And he showed me a switch in the technique. I'm like, I had really overthought it, because it was a dimension that I couldn't see in the mirror, almost literally. And that's why I still run my ideas by the staff. Okay, what do you think about here? And they'll give me their perspective, and that's the whole R&D for me. Like I just posted a minute ago on Facebook this thought that all of us will always be better than any one of us. For me, I've collected a team and a community that works on the material and gives feedback to everyone else. None of my competitors will ever be better than my entire team because there's just one of them, and they're always limited to their perspective. For me, that's why I never fought pro. For me, fighting on amateur teams, on the national teams, was so much more rewarding because I will always fight harder for my teammate. I will always work harder. I will, I'll be able to get much more feedback from all of them than I will from just myself or just one coach. And that's the way I view tactical gymnastics. It's been in debugging process now for 18 months. And when I train a team, the first thing that I do is I ask them, okay, guys, here's my email address. I want you to send me this feedback form and let me know what your thoughts are. And I most of the time I get very valuable feedback that I hadn't seen before. Some of the time it's not helpful, but you've got to go through the negative criticism in order to get to the constructive gems that really help you evolve as a coach. So
sure.
I'm looking forward to getting Tech Gym out there so that we can improve it. And by improving it, I mean we're going to do it for a year or two and then debug it more. I've primarily been using it with my teams and the units that I train. But from a public perspective, when I say public, I mean our entire community. There's a lot more feedback that we can get. And that's what I view this as, a collective effort.
Mm-hmm.
We'll improve this with every single individual that sees, oh, you know what, on this angled lunge, if I do this remedial regression, I can improve my hip mobility in order to stabilize my lower back more so that I can progress faster into the Cossack switch. That was feedback that I just got from somebody who had a particular type of knee injury. And I'm like, that's perfect. And that was actually the intent of our one of the bonus programs that is coming with Tech Gym. I don't want to give out too much crap. There's a bonus program that's coming out because one of the problems with knee and lower back injuries is completely unrelated to knees and lower back.
Mm-hmm. It's actually usually referred for somewhere else.
Right. And what I'm finding is that it's hip tightness and, well, ankle, hip, and thoracic tightness tend to cause lower back mobility and knee destabilization.
Mm-hmm.
So if we viewed it, the body as alternating stacks of stability and mobility, if the ankle is supposed to be mobile and the knee is stable, and the hip's supposed to be mobile and the lower back stable, thorax is supposed to be mobile, then if any one of those mobile areas are tight, the stable area then has to move in order to cause the locomotion or cause the weight bearing. And that's where the injuries happen. So to protect the lower back and the knees, especially when people are starting to learn how to move again, when they're starting to expedite their recovery process and expressing movement, kind of reframe this. I can even catch myself in that whole corrective exercise mindset. Kills me. When we get to that point where we're looking at it as expediting recovery, then that's what this one special program that I developed that's coming out with Tag Gym. That's what it's for. Unlike some of the prior programs with a specific warm up and cool downs, I've put together some special full I'm
not going to be publishing this before launch day, if that makes a difference.
Oh, perfect.
I'll be publishing it on May 20th, which I believe is the launch day, correct?
Awesome. So, okay. Thanks. So, there are two specific bonus programs that come in with the launch, and it's approaches that I've had to inadvertently develop. One is because of the presence of so many lower back and knee injuries, and we could talk forever about why those might have happened. Yoga actually has a 9% injury rate in the States. So almost 1 out of 10 people who do yoga get hospitalized from it.
Right. That doesn't include the people who choose not to go to the hospital.
Right. Who just live with it. That's a pretty profound point. I didn't consider that. And to put it in the context, American football, the most dangerous sport on the planet, has a 14% injury rate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 9% doesn't sound like a lot until you put it into those context. And the reason that it has that 9% injury rate is because of what is the point of departure for most Americans is there are lower back and knee problems. And they happen because of not cleaning the slate, not properly preparing for the yoga routine, because they think the yoga is the exercise. Yoga is a collection of skills. So there should be steps to get you ready for the yoga class. A proper yoga class would already have the steps incorporated, but unfortunately, a lot of classes aren't like that.
Yeah.
So one of the programs for Archimedes is learning that if I want this body to open, if I want these hips to open, I can't just stretch them in one direction or the other. I have to learn how to screw them. The hips are screwed in fascially, the connective tissue. So it's the internal and external rotation that are the main emphasis of releasing. I want to release the tightness that's winding me out or winding me in. And depending upon where that tightness is, there are different problems. Like if the hips are wound out, then, which is often the case for a lot of women because of the post-pregnancy hip design mechanics, there's stress to the inside of the knee. So when they, for instance, go to do a Cossack switch, they're stressing ligaments because they haven't regained the range of motion of internal rotation. And then you have the opposite end of the spectrum. You have guys that have super tight internal rotation. Their groin is super tight, and you know, it could be from something as simple as very heavy deads and squats, and they haven't released internal rotation. Then you have them go into, say, a shin box, and their knee is pointing north-south rather than east-west.
Right.
So, and then of course, what do? They try and force it, and they rip a groin. And, this tactic stuff sucks. No,
yeah.
This is what's going on in the body. You haven't recovered from your prior training. So this will help you recover from that prior training. Recovery being the rebalance of internal and external rotation. So Archimedes is focusing on that. It eventually ends up giving you splits. Leg splits, but not by doing the splits, by releasing internal and external rotation. The splits just happen. You don't need to do the splits in order to get the splits.
Okay.
The other bonus program is a unique approach to myofascial release. You know, rollers have become pretty prominent in health clubs and fitness gyms, how to use a roller in order to release fascial tension. But the problem is that if the body's relaxed, like if you're laying across a roller, you're not activating the chain, so the fascial tension isn't addressed. It's only when you elongate a certain sequence of tissues or a certain arrangement of muscles that you can actually cause the fascia to be dense so you can get to it, right? Mm-hmm. So what I did was I took a sequence of yoga positions that, you know, in yoga, asana, the goal is to elongate certain tissues and then surrender. You basically hold it until the fascia thermodynamically melts. That's the whole focus from a biomechanical standpoint, you know, energy aside. If we take really simple yoga movements only to elongate the tissues, nothing complex, you know, nothing that needs any skill development, just the most basic first remedial step in a yoga pose to elongate a particular tissue, and then we use a ball to roll along that fascial density, we get such a fast transformation that we unlock the fluid body within 2 to 3 weeks rather than months. It's going to be a painful first 2 weeks, but when you find a hot spot, you got to hang out there, which isn't fun to do. But afterwards, you've restored the fluid to the area, so it can recover fully, and then you get a greater percentage of the adaptation that you had elicited in whatever the training is that you had been doing. So those two bonus programs have already been factored in order to address the fact that some of the movements that people are going to see in tech gym are going to look inaccessible. They're not. What we have to do, we have to start with getting you fully recovered from your prior conditioning, and then you'll be able to tap right into it because the nervous system is designed to become more complex. It craves that complexity. And my goal is to just turn off the emergency brake so that we can just pound on the accelerator.
All right. Very cool stuff. Okay, well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tech Gym sounds more like a skills practice program than a conditioning program, or maybe another way of saying it would be like the skills practice program with conditioning benefits as a byproduct.
Right.
Is that correct? Okay.
I'd agree with that.
Okay, cool. Now, how does Tech Gym compare when we're looking at the movements themselves? How does it compare with, you know, other systems like parkour and Gymnastica Naturelle and MoveNet? What are the TAC gym movements comprised of, basically?
Well, remember that my background is martial art. I'm not a dancer. I'm not a gymnast. I respect both of those disciplines. But for me, I view the ultimate litmus test of any type of movement as I'm sorry for the ladies if they get offended by the way I say this. For me as a man, my ability to protect the walls from the beasts at the gate, to be really cheesy about it, that's what I view as the litmus test for movement potential. Can I fight better? Because I believe the ability to express power makes people harder to kill. And I don't mean necessarily killed by an enemy. I mean killed by stress, killed by inappropriate surprise, unknown stressors. The movements that people are going to see and the way that they're described are within those contexts. I'm not talking about this, you know, this is how you throw a strike. This is not like kickbox aerobics. It's not like any class format. You won't find very many similarities to martial art movement classes. It's not expressed that way. It shows how this is also creating a detonation platform. I can absorb and translate force. I could hold a gun and shoot it, and this will be a good platform for it. I could resist somebody charging and throw them in that direction with this platform. But I'm not teaching the skills of, you know, you don't have to learn how to fight in order to become a better fighter. The basis of that is learning the physical structure necessary to be able to express techniques. And that, you know, we have my greatest problem that I'm seeing with martial artists today is that they're very skill-centric and they don't have the physical attributes in order to deliver the skills. So it's like shooting a cannon out of a canoe. They have very fast technique, but they don't have the ability to express that power when they need it.
It's right, to be effective.
Right. So compared to other fusion modalities, the I look at this as you've got to expect that because I have a fighting background that it's going to be couched in the context of this is the foundation to all martial art and combatives training. The second is that this is not an exploratory program. You're not going to be I'm not going to put a bunch of skills in front of you and say, okay, go experiment with these. And that's a lot how my training was in Russia. We would be thrown three or four movements. We would be told to sew them together, and then we were supposed to be able to move from point A to point B. It is an art of movement in that the movements progress. This one basic component will build upon that component to become this skill and refine to that level. So there's an artistry that's built into it, but you don't need to have any artistic intentions. There's no worry about being creative. When I say it's a science of flow, the point is that when you follow these component sequences, when you put it within the context of this is how I train, I have 20 minutes to do it, here's the context, I record these numbers, I track my heart rate here, I write down exactly what's happening in this slot, in this point, everything is taken care of. That is the OCD in me that makes exploratory movement so much easier for the average individual, because now all I have to do is put it here. All I have to do is write this here, follow this instruction and do this, and that will happen. That's a Western mindset being applied to Eastern mentality of flow. And that's what you're going to see that's unique. I'm not trying to bring Eastern philosophy to the Western world. People have tried that. I don't think very many people have succeeded at it. And I don't care. That's not really my intention. My intention is to bring the Western analytical mindset to Eastern flow. This is how we put it within the context of how we understand it. Quantifiable results, easy to track. Am I progressing? No. Okay, go back to this point. Start back here. Until I can hold my technique, then I go up. It's the guidelines are so easy to follow that I don't have to have a background in biomechanics or kinesiology in order to understand what is the next step. The next step's right here. I don't have to delve into textbooks in order to find it. I don't need to know what the current research is in order to train. That's really the uniqueness of TACGEM. Expect my obsessive compulsive research to be layered into the programmatic approach that a lot of people have found with TACFIT. I've also given options if you don't want to follow the standard compliance for the wave of intensity. There are also several other approaches that are more conventional options that are given. Uh-huh. If you start being compliant a little, the results that you're going to get will help you modify your behavior so that you become more compliant with the program. The goal isn't compliance. And that's where some people misunderstand. The goal is not compliance. I get a lot of she's not going to hear this, so I'm going to tell you. My mother-in-law criticizes me. She says that I'm a control freak. Why does everything in life have to be so disciplined? And I look at her, I'm like, well, it's because I want to be better. if I don't have discipline about what I do, then I'll get nowhere fast. I'll go somewhere, but it won't be anywhere. I don't want to have, I want to minimize unpredictability. There's too much chaos when it comes to movement. So in the creation of the program, I wanted to minimize chaos for people like me, who I will do everything possible to achieve what I see as the goal. If you tell me that I have to do 50 pull-ups without touching the ground, I will use every part of my body in order to achieve that, because that's the goal. And that is my fighter's tenacity. I won't quit. I won't. I'll either die, or I'll finish. But the problem is that I damage myself in the process. So for me, in order to do those 50 pull-ups with perfect form, not touching the ground, I mean with perfect strict pull-up, and I'm not talking kips. So what do I have to do? All right, let's test it out. I'm going to do as many as I can, and I'm going to see where my form breaks down. Okay. So what happens here is because of my handedness, my right scap starts to elevate, and I'm not pulling that down. So that means I have an uneven pull, which means, you know, the crossed hip. We start looking at it, and we start rebuilding it. How do I debug this so that I can achieve that with perfect form? And that's the new mentality. The new mentality is I want to achieve the goal with perfect form or very good form. Let's stop with perfect form. And that's the whole formatting that has been plugged into tactical gymnastics that you won't, I haven't seen in any other modality. Sure, I love when you can express yourself creatively and flow. But the point is that I see people who focus purely on the creativity of movement, who unfortunately, when are surprised in a particular direction because they're overcompensating with different parts of their body in order to achieve the motor goal, they're lacking certain stability and strength in their mobility, so they get injured when they have to do a new skill suddenly, or when they receive unknown or surprise stressors, tension. Collision from a different angle than they were prepared. I wanted to prevent that in the format of Tech Gym. I wanted to make it absolutely sun-in-proof, I mean idiot-proof, so that even somebody like me that will do everything possible to win, everything possible to achieve the goal, can't hurt themselves. That's what I think that you're not going to find in the expressive movement modalities that we're seeing quite a bit of. And that really bugs me because the disciplines like parkour are fantastic. They're absolutely brutal. What you don't see on YouTube are the highlight clips of when people screw up because they have ongoing incremental.
You won't see older people doing it either.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
And you don't see older people doing it either. It's all these young guys, who are resilient and, can deal with an injury here and there.
Nice little rubbery teenagers that you can throw in as cannon fodder. Sure, tell them to jump from this roof to the next when they can't jump from one table to the next.
Right.
Yeah, you can. You're only going to get it wrong once. And that for me, that's getting it wrong once is unacceptable. I want errorless development because there's going to be enough room for planned failure in the high-intensity days.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room for error in the low-intensity days.
Right.
We're
coming up on – all right, you still have more?
Nope.
Okay. I was just going to say we're coming up on an hour. I don't want to take any more of your time. I mean, if you have more time, I'd love to keep going, but totally up to you.
No, I actually have to dart. But
okay,
John, I really appreciate the fact that you're so diligent about trying to educate your audience to what the programs that you're reviewing actually involve. And that's one of the things that I'm seeing such a problem with now that the internet has developed little oases of communities, is that too often a new program will come out, people will endorse it, and nobody will actually take the time, the due diligence, to investigate, well, what does it really involve? Where does it really belong? Because it might not be suitable for this individual's needs or goals. Tactical
right.
gymnastics is not going to be for everyone. I promise you. It's not for everyone. And I'm comfortable with that. I don't have any emotional attachment to everybody doing it. I don't expect everyone to do tactical gymnastics or even to want to. There are going to be a lot of mentalities that aren't interested in it, that would be better directed towards Prasara Yoga, for instance. That's fine. And I'm or a different modality not related to me. And that's not my intention to give the impression of. But what I appreciate is that even with your multiple influences and focal points, that you're doing the due diligence of bringing awareness to what the programs actually involve. So thanks for doing this, because it'll help people understand, is this tech gym for me or not?
Right. That's the ultimate goal of these interviews, is, you know, just getting these questions answered and making sure people are, you know, are clear on what they'd be getting themselves into, so that, you know, they invest their time and their energy wisely. So
right.
I appreciate that. So I'm sure that I'll have a lot more questions as I am trying it out over the next few months, and perhaps we could do a follow-up interview.
Sounds great, man.
Sure. All right. Well, thank
right.
you
very
well,
take
much.
Take care of yourself. All right.
You
we'll see you online.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.